Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
The first one, of course, was the Parliament of World Religions held in Toronto, Canada, a few months ago. And now we have moved to, actually we're getting ready for the second one. I have also, as I said before, two of my favorite topics, ecumenism and interfaith movements, because of, you know, what their contributions to helping to bring together false religions to help form Mystery Babylon, the great harlot of Revelation 17. You know, God has a way with words, doesn't he? What does God call this fake church? He calls it a harlot. He calls the bride of Christ is a bride of Christ. And in the Old Testament, Israel was God's wife. But what does he call this group? This is a harlot. This is a harlot church, you know. Now, Christ, God will forgive anyone of any sin. He'll forgive a harlot of their harlotry. But this is a spiritual term that God himself has for this unfaithful, fake, evil, fake church. Or religion, I should say, religious movement. Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. And so we're looking at two of my favorite and top and relevant topics, ecumenism and interfaith, and how they're interweaved in these four recent events that I've been commenting on. The first of, and that was the Parliament of World Religions. So I, in doing this new series, which is now we're into the fifth episode of the series, I am. This is the first series I think I've ever done that I didn't have a title for, so I decided, well, you know what, I probably ought to have a title for this. And since we're really looking at the one world religion, that's what we've been looking at and its formation, and then the one world government, which we'll also be looking for in this series, I decided that I'll just entitle this One World Religion, One World Government, and One World in Deception. I thought maybe One World in Tatters, One World in Flames, you know, you get the idea. But really, these things, these movements towards a one world religion and a one world government, they're all shrouded in deception. They're all seeking to present themselves as being good, holy, scientific, etc., etc. And really, they're not the gospel, which is good news. They're bad news and fake news. Climate change, all of this stuff that is replacing God's judgment to come, earth changes, you know, is a term that New Agers and New American, Native American spirituality people, they term volcanoes and earthquakes and these things that happen to Mother Earth, you know, earth changes in the end times. Well, that's a counterfeit of what we find in the book of Revelation, God's judgments and the birth pangs that he talks about that are going to come inevitably before Christ returns. As a woman, before she gives birth, she has birth pangs. Before this world gives birth to Christ's coming millennial reign and his kingdom, is going to have these terrible birth pangs, and the earth is going to be shook up. So, yeah, I think I'll go with that. One world religion, one world government, and one world in deception. Because those that are promoting this stuff and believing this stuff are promoting a lie and are deceiving many people. Now, having looked at point one of my outline, really, was the Parliament of World Religions, which, as I've mentioned several times, a couple of friends, Facebook friends, had messaged me about this particular, and I, of course, I was familiar with the Parliament of World Religions, but I'm glad that they mentioned it to me because I didn't know it was taking place right around the time that they had made it known to me. And I thought, you know what, I should comment on that. And that was really the origin of this series that I'm doing now. And so I'm thankful that they shared that with me. So that I could let those of you who are not maybe up to snuff on some of these things, and then as time went on, as I was involved in other podcast material, other events were taking place that I think, of course, there are many events contributing to these end time events we read about in the Bible. So the next point in my outline really is ecumenism and interfaith and the Roman Catholic Church. The Berean Call, which was started by Dave Hunt, was founded by Dave Hunt, in the January newsletter of this year, T.A. McMahon, who's the director of Berean Call, had an ecumenism update, was the key article in the newsletter. And I just want to quote the first paragraph here. What is ecumenism and why should it be updated? Ecumenism is a movement that began as an attempt to bring about unity within the denominations and groups that call themselves Christian. In the mid-20th century, however, a change took place, led for the most part by the Roman Catholic Church, expanding the goal of ecumenism to include all religions. That may seem like a worthy objective, but it is neither biblical nor possible. Nevertheless, the movement is alive today and growing exponentially, yet most Christians do not recognize its deceptive nature. And I had commented on that a couple of podcasts ago, that, you know, ecumenism and interfaith, they're different by definition, and yet they've kind of morphed, you know, ecumenism has kind of morphed into interfaithism, in that it's no longer just professing Christian denominations, nations, mostly which were not really Christian denominations, like Catholicism and liberal Christianity groups that weren't Christians to begin with, that were false religions themselves, have kind of morphed into, oh, well, you know, hey, these guys, they don't really have true faith in the true Messiah and the true God and the true Word of God anyway, so let's just all ollie in free, everybody come and join the fun. So, and I thought McMahon made a good point there. I like the way he said that. It's what I had mentioned recently that has become, and of course, and it centers around, and he makes that point. A change that took place in the mid-20th century led, for the most part, by the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, there's, anyway, there's been I visited some of the sites where some, Assisi, Italy was one of the sites where they had this big prayer, world prayer for peace, and they had all these pagan religions joining together. But anyway, so this has been the trend and the move, and all these are building blocks towards these end-time events of the one-world religion and the one-world government. But, you know, having read that article, I want to, really, the second event that I wanted to comment on, it's not that this is like the only time that the Catholic popes have reached out to pagans, like I just mentioned in Assisi, Italy, and in other times in other places, there's been this reaching out. But there is, most recently, this pope, and a lot of people have made a lot of it, even though it hasn't gotten as much play in the news, perhaps, as it should, although, you know, Fox News had an article about it, and The Guardian, big paper in London. So it is out there somewhat in the mainstream media. I have several articles I want to comment on. Let me adjust my headset here just for a second. All right. So I'm going to read some of these things to you in case you didn't catch this in the news. But this second current event, one of the articles refers to the document on the human brotherhood. And so the signing of this document between Pope Francis and a grand imam of Islam. But we want to look at these other articles before I get to that one that goes into a little more detail about that. The Fox News article, the headline, Pope Francis's appeal to the Arab world highlights new chapter in Christian-Muslim relations. So the first event, Parliament of World Religions 2018 in Toronto. Second event, Pope Francis's appeal to the Arab world highlights new chapter in Christian-Muslim relations. In the United Arab Emirates, Pope Francis entered the Zayed Sports City Stadium here to tens of thousands of people chanting his name. In a way, it was a victory lap of sorts. He did what no pontiff has ever done, visited the Arab Peninsula, and holding a Catholic Mass in a country where it is still illegal to convert from Islam to another faith. In fact, when we had troops there after 9/11, I think around that time. Anyway, I remember something about, of course, our soldiers weren't allowed to have Bibles even in their country. In the first sentence of his homily, you know, not to confuse the Bible with the Catholic Mass, excuse me, but anyway, what's perceived to be Christian, okay, by Muslims would be including Catholicism. In the first sentence of his homily, Francis proclaimed the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the part of the world called the cradle of Islam. And of course, I would proclaim that that message was not the gospel, the true gospel that he proclaimed. That was the gospel of Catholicism, which is not good news. It's bad news because it's works religion. Now, moving towards the center of the article, his presence here signifies a new chapter in the history of Christian Muslim relations, one in which moderate Muslims who believe in religious tolerance and peace take the reins. And, you know, some time ago, I don't remember if it was last week's podcast or before that, I had commented on the Wall Street Journal article where the Saudi Arabian leader was talking about the new tolerance that he wanted to see with other religions. And then also in the John Templeton Foundation literature, which of course was part of what I was presenting about the Parliament of World Religions websites, and they spoke of the Jordanian King Abdullah, as well as another member of royalty there, who were also seeking to organize the type of tolerance and goodwill and coming together with other different religions than Islam. So I wanted to reference that because I thought that was very interesting that they mentioned that in this article. A new chapter in the history of Muslim-Christian relations, one in which moderate Muslims who believe in religious tolerance and peace take the reins. Now, the Pope came here by invitation from the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi. This is not Jordan or Saudi Arabia, by the way. This is United Arab Emirates, a smaller Muslim country, apparently in the Arabian Peninsula, though. The Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, kicking off the country's year of tolerance. The pontiff met with Muslim leaders, signed a document affirming human brotherhood, and toured Abu Dhabi's Grand Mosque. Although the UAE is considered one of the most tolerant Muslim-majority countries, UAE meaning the United Arab Emirates, of course, it is not without Islamic restrictions. Christian churches are not allowed to display crosses or ring bells, and Christians are forbidden from proselytizing. But still, considering the region, it's making tremendous progress. The name of the mosque next to the Christian church compound in Abu Dhabi was renamed Mary Mother of Jesus, a testament to the fact that in the Quran, the Muslim holy book, the Prophet Muhammad revered Jesus as a great prophet and mentioned Mary, his mother, prominently and with great respect. Of course, Muhammad did not revere Jesus Christ as the only Savior, and Islam, of course, does not acknowledge him to be anything more than a great prophet, and certainly lesser prophet than Muhammad. I might just had to throw that in. However, the Pope's trip was not without tension. The Pope spoke out against a war in Yemen, where the UAE has taken a leading role. Okay, I'm going to skip over that. But all agreed that religious violence has no place for the people of God. The Pope emphasized that love of God should unite, not divide. Yes, it should. It should unite true Christians, true family members of God, but not unsaved, fallen, false religious folks. So, you know, the Pope and Islam, well, you know, they could go pretty well together since both, in my opinion, represent false religions. Again, works religions. We gravely profane God's name when we justify hatred and violence against a brother. Again, a brother? You know, who's your brother? Who's your daddy? Excuse me. Who's your daddy? You know, is your daddy God? If your daddy is God the Father, who sent Jesus Christ the Son, so that you might be redeemed and brought into the family of God, well then, yeah, he's your brother. But, you know, it just depends on who's your daddy. And if your daddy is the God of Islam, sorry, you're in the wrong family. And you ain't my brother. I hope that Islamic people would come to know the truth in Christ, of course. But Pope Francis and so many just assume that, well, everybody's your brother. You know, we're all children of God. So by inviting Pope Francis to the Arabian Peninsula, the UAE is also hoping to send a message to the rest of the Arab world that religious tolerance and freedom from ISIS is the future. All right, so ISIS are the bad, barbaric, bad guys. All right, we get that. But the good Muslims, you know, and their false religion, well, that's okay because, you know, they're not like the vicious, savage ISIS people. You understand what I'm saying is Satan comes as an angel of light, and false religion is false religion, whether it's being promoted by, you know, vicious terrorist types or people who want to be tolerant and just get along and let's all be join the Parliament of World Religions or whatever, and then we can all go to hell together, you know, because we miss what Jesus said, that no one comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. Jesus was very exclusive, wasn't he? And he had a right to be so, since he's the one who died for the sins of all of mankind. So praise God for Jesus, and praise God that I thank God he's my Lord. He saved me, and I acknowledge him and him only as my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because of what he did, I am now a child of God, and I can call God my Father because I'm an adopted child of God in the family of God. And I trust that many of you share that same heritage, spiritual heritage. And if not, then I would challenge you to consider the claims of Christ and come to know God through Jesus Christ and come to know salvation and escape, you know, the judgment that's to come on this world. The wrath to come, it's described in the book of Thessalonians. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Boy, some people would say, the wrath of God, don't you know God's a God of love? Yes, he is a God of love. And if he didn't have wrath to punish all of the evil, then he couldn't be a God of love as well. You know, he has many attributes. But anyway, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent. Let's go to the next article, The Guardian. The Pope and Grand Imam sign historic pledge of fraternity in UAE. So this is another article about the same event. In his first papal visit to the Arabian Peninsula, Francis calls for end to wars in Middle East. The Pope and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar have signed a historic declaration of fraternity, calling for peace between nations, religions, and races in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths. Pope Francis, the leader of the world's Catholics, and Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayeb, the head of Sunni Islam's most prestigious seat of learning, arrived at the ceremony in Abu Dhabi hand-in-hand in a symbol of interfaith brotherhood. The document pledges that Al-Azhar and the Vatican will work together to fight extremism, claiming to be in the name of all the victims of wars, persecution, and injustice. It warns against a third world war being fought piecemeal. It says, we resolutely declare that religions must never incite war, hateful attitudes, hostility, and extremism, nor must they incite violence or the shedding of blood. And yet Jesus foresaw, and this is me talking here, folks, Jesus foresaw and said and told us there would be wars and rumors of wars. He didn't say it was a good thing. He said they will come, you know. Until the Prince of Peace comes, there will not be peace, lasting peace, till the Prince of Peace comes. And that's Jesus when he returns. In his speech on Monday evening, his first public comments during the three-day trip, he welcomed the opportunity to come here as a believer for peace. We are here to desire peace. We are here to promote peace, to be instruments of peace. And again, that scripture rings out in my head, and they shall say, peace, peace, and there shall be no peace. Like I said before, there will not be peace until the Prince of Peace returns. And they shall say, peace and safety, and sudden destruction shall come upon them. You know, the book of Revelation tells us about the destruction that's coming. Sheikh Tayyab, who addressed the Pope as my dear brother, said millions of Muslims had paid the price for the actions of a handful of criminals following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Now, that's a big handful, I would say. You know, in the book of Genesis, there's a verse that talks about Ishmael being a wild man. And Ishmael, of course, is the forerunner of the modern-day Arabic Islamic people. Of course, there's always the opportunity for anyone to come to Christ. I don't condemn people because of their race or anything else. I just say that is a verse in the scripture that many believe represents a lot of what takes place in the modern terrorism and all the other stuff in the description of Ishmael as a wild man. Whereas this man is trying to say, oh, just a handful of these criminals, they don't represent Islam. Well, Maybe he should read up on Muhammad himself. Anyway, the media had portrayed all Muslims as savage barbarians and had installed fear in the hearts of people in the West, he said. All religions agree that God forbids killing. And all religions are false without Jesus Christ. I can't say that enough. It says the media had portrayed all Muslims as savage barbarians. And I'm saying, wait a minute, not our liberal media. They seem to coddle Islam, as does the Democratic Party. The liberals, well, anyway, I was going to say the liberal Democrats, but the whole party is pretty much liberal. And so you see this attempt to come together, let's all get along, in Saudi Arabia, in UAE here, in Jordan. It's very interesting the times we're living in. The article goes on, it says, the UAE government does not allow Christians to evangelize or pray in public. Converts from Islam endure the most persecution as they face pressure from family members and the local community to recant their Christian faith. The government has also been criticized by human rights organizations for restrictions of freedom of expression. It's easy to say, the handful of criminals and Muslims being savage barbarians, but we're all so nice and all. But, then you hear about the persecutions and such that still happen to Christians in some of these countries. Reem al-Hashimi, the UAE's Minister of State for International Cooperation, said it was important to note that openness has to have parameters. Otherwise, things can quickly spiral into incitement or hate. Freedom of expression has to have limitations, yeah, especially if you're a Christian, I guess. That could be said by a lot of false religions. Everybody's welcome, except for you Bible-thumping Christians. Anyway, let's look at the next article. That article, of course, as I said, was from The Guardian, which is an English, I believe, newspaper, big newspaper over there. This is from the Daily Wire. Pope Francis returns from Abu Dhabi, says Islam and Christianity will promote common values. Let's get into this. Upon returning, this is by Paul Boyce, and I apologize that I haven't given the authors of these articles. I just forgot to take the time to read their names, but I'm giving you the titles. You can look them up, and of course give credit to these folks who have written these articles. Upon returning from his historic apostolic journey to the Arabian Peninsula, specifically the United Arab Emirates, Pope Francis said that the Islamic world and the Christian world will work together to promote common values. Speaking before his general audience in St. Peter's Square on Wednesday, Pope Francis discussed his meeting with the great Imam of Al-Azhar and their signing of the Document on the Human Brotherhood, that's what I mentioned before, which condemned all forms of religious violence and the spreading of authentic values throughout the world. The great Imam of Al-Azhar and I signed the Document on the Human Brotherhood, in which together we affirm the common vocation of all men and women to be brothers in. As God's sons and daughters, we condemn all forms of violence, especially those with religious motivation, and we commit ourselves to spreading authentic values and peace throughout the world, Pope Francis said. And I just put in the corner there, as God's sons and daughters, and I just put, a lie. You're not a son or a daughter of God unless you've received Christ and accepted his gift of pardon, that he died for you and for your sins, and that you've been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ as a Christian, not as any other religion, any other false works religion. It gives so much pressure to move forward in the dialogue on human brotherhood. We commit ourselves to spreading authentic values and peace throughout the world. It gives so much pressure to move forward in the dialogue. Okay, so signing this document gives so much pressure to move forward in the dialogue on human brotherhood. And once again, that old quote, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men. That's something the liberals and the liberal churches, the false Christianity in our country, they've always used that quote. God's everybody's father. Just practice the fatherhood of God, you know, it's just assumed, you know, God is everybody's father, everybody's, you know, part of his family, and the brotherhood of men, we're all brothers and sisters, you know. That does not exist. You know, and it says in John chapter 1, and I don't have the exact verse, I think it's verse 14, it says that he gave authority to those, you know, Jesus Christ, those who received Jesus Christ, we have the authority to become and to be called the sons of God, okay? That's who are sons and daughters of God. It's only through Christ. Inconvenient truth, but so true. He also denounced the temptation to see a clash between Christian and Islamic civilizations. And I said, of course there's a clash. It's a false religion, Islam is. You know, of course there's going to be a clash. In an era like ours, in which the temptation to see a clash between Christian and Islamic civilizations is strong, and also to consider religions as sources of conflict, we wanted to give a further clear and decisive sign that instead it is possible to meet, it is possible to respect and dialogue, and that despite the diversity of cultures and traditions, the Christian and Islamic world appreciate and protect common values. It just really sounds a whole lot like the Parliament of World Religions, doesn't it? If you've been listening to my program the past few podcasts. The Pope's full remarks, dear brothers and sisters, good morning. In recent days I made a short apostolic journey to the United Arab Emirates, a short but very important journey which, linking up to the 2017 meeting in Al-Azhar, Egypt, has written a new page in the history of dialogue between Christianity and Islam and the commitment to promote peace in the world on the basis of human brotherhood. For the first time, a pope went to the Arabian Peninsula and Providence, capitalized, and I wrote, and who is this Providence fellow? Is he a pope? Pope Providence? But anyway, the pope is just saying, oh, and it's providential. You know, God worked it out. And I say, no, you worked it out. You and, you know, the grand imam worked it out. It wasn't providential from God, that's for sure. But, and Providence wanted it to be a pope by the name of Francis. 800 years after the visit of St. Francis of Assisi to the Sultan al-Malik al-Kamil, I often thought of St. Francis during this journey. He helped me to keep the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ in my heart. You know, just to repeat, and Providence wanted it to be a pope. And I wrote, well, if you say so, maybe he was speaking ex cathedra and we can make that part of the tradition, the truths of the Catholic Church, which, you know, are on the equal basis as scripture are, the idea that the pope, when he speaks ex cathedra, whatever he's saying becomes truth. Well, what do you know? I'm out of time.